You're listening to the Evangel Wichita podcast, recorded live each week at Evangel Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. Download each week for fresh, relevant messages from the preaching team. Open your minds. Here we go.
We're here in week number two of this series we're calling Baggage Check. And we started it last week, and I said, look, there are times in life that we don't realize it all the time, but we carry baggage around with us, and it becomes something normal, and we get used to it almost, and if we're not careful, it can get heavier and heavier and heavier, and it starts weighing us down, and we begin to wonder what's happening in our relationship with God, what's happening in our relationship with other people, why are things changing, and it's because we've been carrying these baggage around. For example, you may go through life, and someone hurts you at some point, and you start carrying this bitterness around with you, and you don't think it's a big deal at first because the bag's not very heavy and it has wheels, which is really cool, so you can pull it around behind you, and so that's easy, and you start carrying the bitterness around with you all over everywhere you go, and you don't think much about it because it's really not that big of a deal and you can manage it, right? And then something else happens a few days later, and you see the neighbor down the street gets a new car, and you're like, why can't I get a new car? Why can't I have that new house? Why can't I be like that? And you start carrying this envy around with you, and it's not a really big deal at first because it's really manageable. They're small suitcases. It's not really that big, and you start moving around, and you see how this keeps happening. And eventually you get a third bag, and you're kind of wondering, what can I do with this one? Well, this one's a little bigger, so you're trying to figure out, how can I get all these? And you begin to think that it's just normal life, that I have to walk around my life trying to get through with these bags. Some of you do this in the airport, too. And so, but literally. We think that in life we have to do this and we have to carry all these bags around. And it's like, that's not what God has for us. That's not the plan. That's not the way. And so we started looking last week at this idea of baggage and the baggage that we often carry around with us. And we took an overview last week. We kind of started and said, here's a big picture view of this idea of baggage and what happens. And we looked at three prayers that we can pray last week, and when we start thinking about it, and here's what the prayers we talked about last week. We said, God, renew my life, restore my life, and release me from those that have offended me. There's these three prayers that we can pray that help us in this idea of baggage. And I said, you know what? The other thing that you have to do, one of the first things you have to do if you want to deal with this idea of baggage that you're carrying around is you need to give the baggage a name. You need to acknowledge that you have and that you're carrying around the baggage. And a lot of us don't want to do that. We don't want to give this baggage of guilt a name. We don't want to give this baggage of envy a name. We don't want to. Why? Because it makes us vulnerable. All of a sudden, people will know that we're not perfect. We don't have it all together. And we're going to start being vulnerable with people, and we're vulnerable with God. And a lot of us don't want to be there. But that's the first thing. If you really want to get rid of the baggage that you have, that you've been carrying around, we have to get to the point where we acknowledge, yeah, I picked up some baggage along the way. I was wondering why it was weighing me down so much. And we have to acknowledge it. And then we can move forward and start to get rid of it and start to release it. And the Lord can help us. And so today, as we've moved through this introduction, and now we're going to start, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to start talking about some specific pieces of baggage that you may find yourself carrying. If you're brave enough to admit it, you may find yourself pulling behind you or trying to navigate through life carrying these pieces of baggage. So as we get started, I thought I would give you a visual, since it's what, 10:48, this is perfect as we get started. Maybe you've done some of these things as a kid, or you've done this science experiment, but have you ever taken jars and put food in it and just to see what would happen if you leave food sitting out for a long period of time? What happens to the foods you like to eat, right, every day? But if you leave it in a jar, have you ever done that before, those science experiments? And you can like watch different foods just begin to rot and get fungus on it and get gross and nasty. All except Twinkies. They never change, right? They never, they're like, I don't know what's in those things. They're just there. So you can leave Twinkies in there forever. Stays the same. But everything else, you have that picture. You see the food begin to rot and it gets gross, right? It gets disgusting. So that's a visual I want you to keep as we move through today, talking about this baggage. So let me ask you some other questions as we get started. Do you know someone that you would love to trade salaries with? You know someone that you would love to trade salaries with. Do you know someone that you would love to trade houses with? Do you know someone that you would love to trade families with? Don't admit that. Do you know someone that you would love to trade cars with? Do you know someone that you would love to trade athletic ability with? Now, I know. It's me. Sorry. Just kidding. Now, if you answer yes to any of those questions, it doesn't mean that you're this horrible person and we have to stop right now. And I can't believe I said yes. I can't believe I have to answer yes to some of those questions. The point of the questions is, it's to point out that there is a piece of baggage that a lot of us can carry around if we're not careful. And that's called, that's the baggage of envy. If we're not careful, we can carry around this baggage called envy. If we spend too much time dwelling on what other people have and refuse to be grateful for what we have, we can easily add to this bag called envy. And it'll get heavier and heavier and bigger as you move through life. Maybe, I don't know about you, did you grow up in the shadow of an older brother or older sister? Maybe you grew up with a friend that was just like good at everything and you weren't so good at everything, but they were good at everything and you were in their shadow. You were just the friend. Everybody knew them and you were like their friend. Maybe you were in the shadow of a star player somewhere on the sports team that you played on. Think back to how you handled those situations. How did you handle being in the shadow of those people? Let's look at some scripture. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. And I'm going to read this. This is Paul writing. And I want to share it with you from the Message translation this morning. I think it's powerful. It's on the screens as well. But look at this. It says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Look at that. That's pretty good. Don't compare yourselves with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. So think about this. What happens if we continue to carry the baggage of envy around with us? What if it gets to the point of obsession in our life? What if it becomes unhealthy and it begins to weigh us down, this baggage of envy? What if it weighs us down and it starts to impact our walk with God? So let's look at Proverbs and keep in mind that visual I gave you of the jars of food. What happens with the jars of food? Think about how the principles apply to your life when we're talking about envy. Look at Proverbs 14:30. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. But look what envy does. Envy rots the bones. Think about the food. Everything but a Twinkie, right? It all rots. It all rots. So you have that visual of something that is rotten. And you have to step back and think, what can happen inside your life if you continue to carry around the baggage of envy? If you continue to carry that bag, this is what's going to happen inside you. We lose the peace. And we have to trade in the peace for something that can rot our lives, which is envy. So I looked up. I said, all right, what is the definition of envy? And so I looked up dictionary.com, and here's the definition of envy. It says this: a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, successes, possessions, etc. So I thought, let's simplify it a little bit more and define it for our study today. This word envy. Envy, for our talk this morning, is defined this way: resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in our lives. So it's resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in our own lives. Now, as we get started, let me clarify something to you as well. Jealousy and envy are emotions that we all feel from time to time, okay? We all feel these. But if they can become dominant in our lives, They will warp our perspective. They will change how you view things. They will change how you see things. They will keep you from reaching your potential that you have. And they will eventually lead you into some very destructive behavior. Without question, I mean, we would all agree probably that jealousy and envy can impede our growth to spiritual maturity. They can get in the way. And although sometimes we get to the place where we use those words interchangeably, there is a difference between jealousy and envy. There is a difference. Jealousy can be used in a good sense. Its root word, you have this root word zealous, and it's the same word where we get zeal or zealous. And you can take this word jealousy and apply it to God, saying he is a jealous God, or it means that he demands that we worship and love him exclusively. In a bad sense, jealousy is a fear of being displaced by a rival, or being this fear of being replaced in favor. Look at Proverbs 27:4. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? See, envy, jealousy, we've seen that in when we describe God, it can be positive. We see his traits of that. But envy, on the other hand, always has a bad meaning. And this is the way that a lot of us will live. We carry around envy in our lives. We begin to live for things in the future. When I have my dream house, I'm going to be happy. When my kids grow up, I'll be happy. When I reach a certain position in my job, I'm going to be happy. When I travel, I'll be happy. Sorry. And you begin to not find any satisfaction in life. And we get to the point that we ignore God's goodness in our own life. And we begin to resent what God's done in other people's lives. And the bag that we have, this bag of envy, gets heavier and heavier. Heavier and heavier. But Mark, seriously, what is the big deal today? What is the problem with envy? What harm can envy do in my life? If I choose to carry this bag around, if I choose to pull this bag around behind me, if I choose to go through life with envy, what's the big deal? It's not really going to hurt me in the end. It's not that big of a deal. But let me show you. There are some problems that if you choose to carry the bag of envy around, there are problems that will pop up in your life. Let me show you two. Number one, if you choose to carry this bag of envy around, envy will rot your relationships. Envy will rot your relationships. James chapter 3, verse 14 says this: "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic." Look at verse 16. "For where you have envy and selfish ambition," watch this, "there you will find disorder and every evil practice." Where you find envy, you will see relationships being destroyed. Where you find envy, you will find eventually relationships that are being destroyed. Think about this. Think about the struggles that you face in your family relationships. Think about those times when you get together for family reunions or family holidays and there's just that envy that's going on. Things begin to come out, like the jealousy and envy that comes around. It begins to rot away at relationships. It does. If you choose to keep this bag with you, it's going to rot the relationships. Let's look in the Old Testament. Think about it in the Bible. Back in Genesis chapter 37, the story of Joseph and his brothers. It's a famous story. You may have read it before in the Old Testament. The story of Joseph being the youngest, having dreams, and they were dreams of his brothers bowing down before him, and he's smart enough to tell his brothers that these are the dreams, and they don't like it very much. They get mad at him. They don't like that he's telling them that they're going to bow down before him, so they decide that they're going to kill him. We're going to kill Joseph, and one of the brothers makes a way where they don't kill him. They throw him in a pit, and they leave him there. That's the Mark paraphrase, and they leave him there in the pit. And they sell him into slavery. Eventually, they go back and tell their dad that he was killed. The jealousy got to them. The envy. They didn't like that. They didn't like that. It destroyed the relationship between the brothers.
And just like James said in that text we just read, where you will find evil and disorder, every kind of evil practice where envy lives. But Mark, seriously, that's a bit extreme. That's a bit crazy. I'm not going to sell anyone into slavery. I'm not going to try to kill my brother. That's a bit extreme. You know, my baggage isn't that big. It's actually quite small. It's a carry-on. It fits in the overhead compartment. It's not big. Not a big deal. I can handle this piece. Maybe those things don't happen physically where you sell your sibling into slavery or kill them or anything like that, but we do it verbally. Sometimes we do it with our attitudes. The reality is this. If you carry around the baggage of envy, if you refuse to deal with it, if you want to keep it with you, it will eventually begin to rot your relationships. The second problem I see, if you don't think it's that big of a deal, let me show you. Not only does it rot your relationships, but the second thing I see is it spoils life. Life can be good. Life can be great. But if you get to that point where you begin to resent God's goodness in somebody else's life and you start ignoring God's goodness in your own life, it's going to begin to spoil the blessings that God has placed in your life. It will. Look at Genesis chapter 30. We have another example found in the Old Testament. The two wives of Jacob, Rachel and Leah. Rachel is unable to get pregnant, and she is the one who Jacob loves the most. But when Rachel sees that she's not having any children and her sister Leah is having children, she's filled with envy of her sister. Look at verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'm going to die." Come on, that's a bit overboard, right? That's a bit dramatic. Would she really die if she didn't have any children? Probably not. But she's at this point where envy was spoiling her life. The baggage that she was carrying was getting incredibly heavy, and she didn't know what to do. She was resenting the goodness that God had placed that had done in her life, and she was envious of what God was doing in her sister's life. Because you know what? The Bible said, I just mentioned it, that Jacob loved her the most. He worked 14 years for her. But she couldn't see that. I can remember when envy was a tough thing in my life. I started thinking about this for me. And I remember back in 7th grade, and so long ago. Can't remember yesterday, but I remember the story in 7th grade. I remember seeing Air Jordan shoes for the first time, right? I was in 6th grade, actually, when I first saw them. And saw my friends that had them, but I remember in basketball in 7th grade, these boys had this Air Jordan shoe right here. And I said, oh my goodness, I have to have that shoe, right? Because it's right here. This is the Air Jordan 2. This doesn't mean much to some of you, but that's what this is. I got a microphone in my hand. Yeah. Air Jordan 2. These boys had this shoe, and I watched them play basketball, and I said, I need that shoe. They jump higher in that shoe. They run faster in that shoe. I know they do. I watched them on the basketball court. I said, I need that shoe. And so I went home, and I said, Mom, I got to have that shoe, Air Jordan. She's like, how much does Air Jordan cost? I said, well, it's not that much. And she looked at the price tag. She said, no, you don't need that shoe. I said, Mom. But I would jump higher, and I would run faster, and I'd probably be the best basketball player in the history of basketball players because I just need the shoe to wear, right? And if you just give me this Air Jordan 2, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. And I watch every day the boys that had the Air Jordan 2, and I was just like, oh, they don't even deserve those shoes. They can't even play basketball. They're not really that good. If I had that shoe, I'd be really good. I could play and all these things. And the envy just sat there. For a whole year, right? And so I knew I wanted those shoes. I knew I needed the Air Jordan 2, right? And I knew that I would be a better basketball player. So here's what happens. Finally, this is your lesson. After 3 years of asking, finally my mom was wore down. And she said, okay, fine, you can have Air Jordan shoes. Don't do that, kids. No means no, okay? So then, 1988, I get my first pair. This was actually this isn't the literal first pair, but this is the style. This is the exact color. And when it came back out, I said, oh my goodness, I remember that. 1988, first pair of Air Jordans I ever had right here. This Air Jordan 3, True Blue is what it's called. True Blue Air Jordan 3. Still, I mean, that's never been put on. Look at that. So 1988 comes. I finally get my pair of Jordans. So I put these Air Jordans on, and I go, and I want to show all the boys that I can play basketball too. You know what? It didn't really matter that much. It didn't really. I don't even think I jumped any higher. I don't think I can jump at all. But I can remember that whole year just wanting the shoes and thinking that I'm better than all those other guys that have the shoes. Why can't I have them too? And I started missing all. I'm a seventh grade kid, right? But I couldn't see all the goodness that God had placed in my life, because all I could see was that those boys had Air Jordan shoes and I didn't have them. All I could see for a year was how much I needed those shoes to play basketball. If only. You see, that's what envy can do. Envy does that to us in our life. Envy can be a very dangerous piece of baggage that, if we're not careful, will ruin our lives. It's very, very dangerous. And we don't want to acknowledge that we have this in our life. And most of us get to the point where we're carrying around this bag of envy, and we start saying these things to ourselves. It's not really a problem for me. You know, it's not really a problem. Yeah, you know, sometimes I think about how they got something that I should have got, and they have these things, and I really deserve those. But really, Mark, it's not that big of a deal for me. But the truth is, we're not careful. This becomes a very big problem for us. This piece of baggage becomes a very big problem for us that we begin to carry around. And so let me show you, though, as we talked about these problems that can come with the baggage, let me show you this morning two things that often come when we carry the bag of envy around in our lives. If you're carrying this bag today, you will see these two things. So as you examine yourself for the next few moments, if you see one of these two things, you're probably carrying around this bag of envy. Then the first problem is this, in your notes, the problem of comparing. The problem of comparing. The truth is this, in our American culture today, we are almost conditioned to compare. Compare all the time. Compare everything. We are almost taught to compare, right? So you ask someone that you know, what did you get for your birthday? What did you get for your birthday? And you start comparing. What did you get on the test? What did you get on the test? I need to know what the curve's going to be. Anyway, you start comparing who got what on the test. What kind of promotion did you get? Well, let me tell you what promotion I got. And you begin to compare. How much weight have you lost? Well, how much weight have you lost? And you're comparing weight loss, right? What have your kids done? Well, my kids are in 14 different competitive sports. They've won 10 championships. What have your kids done? And we start thinking about these different things, right? What are your kids doing? And we compare. And comparison leads into and it feeds this bag of envy. It'll feed it. It'll add to it. It can be a very dangerous thing when we begin to compare. It just adds to the bag. Makes it a little bit bigger, makes it a little bit heavier. We see this example. The first king of Israel, King Saul, he was a man that was picked by God to be the king, the very first king. He is described to stand head and shoulders above all the other men of the time. So people literally looked up to him. He was blessed by God. But one of his downfalls was that he carried around this baggage called envy. And when Saul started going his own way, not following God anymore, the anointing went to the next person, right? It went to the next king. And it would be king, this young man named David. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. Look at this, verses 6 through 9. I think we have that too. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing. With joyful songs, with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands? What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. So what happens? Well, here's Saul, the first king, who at this moment right here takes his eyes off the work of God and puts his eyes on someone else. Based on envy, he starts looking at this other person, Because he's comparing what's happened, and it begins to bring the downfall of Saul. So here's the question. Here's the question that you can ask if this is a piece of baggage that you're carrying around. Here's the question. If you want to really get honest with yourself this morning, with whom or what do you most often compare? Or with whom or what do you most often compare? For me, it's very easy in my profession to compare myself to every other minister in the city or even in the country. To compare evangel with every other church that's out there. It's very easy to look at other churches and say, wow, they're doing some great things there. Why isn't evangel doing that stuff? Or, man, he's a really good speaker. Why can I do it like that? It's very easy for me to get into this area of comparison. And even stepping into this role, lead pastor, is very easy to compare myself to my dad who spent 36 years in the same position. It's very, very easy. But what about you? How do you answer that question? With whom or what do you most often compare? Is it someone at work that you're comparing yourself to all the time? They work hard, you work harder, and they receive all the promotions. Wives, do you compare your husbands to other husbands? You see another family where the husband is doing this and this and this, more involved with the kids, more involved with the wife, better spiritual leader, and you begin to compare your husband to that guy? Maybe you compare the new car someone just got with the latest technology, and you start looking at your old car that's 13 years old. All the bells and whistles. You compare your home with someone else's. You see how big of a house they have and how small of a house you have. You begin to compare. But see, what happens when you get to that point of comparing, it feeds this bag of envy. It feeds this bag. Ask yourself, with whom or what do I most often compare? Envy. Remember, it's resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and it's ignoring God's goodness in your own life. With whom or what do you most often compare? And comparison is a trap, okay? Comparison is a trap that's going to keep you from growing in the life that you need to grow in with God. It's going to keep you from doing it. It's a big problem that can lead to some serious baggage that you'll begin to carry around every day. And you're going to wonder, why is that bag getting so heavy? Why is that bag getting so heavy? Why is it harder? Why are my relationships doing this? Why are my relationships going like this? It's comparing. It's envy. The second problem is the problem of complaining. The problem of complaining. Should we ever complain? Look at what we learn in Philippians chapter 2. This is the New Living Translation, I believe. It says, do this. Do everything without what? Without complaining and arguing. So it's like, why is this so important? Look at verse 15. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Think about that. Do everything without complaining. Do everything without complaining. I don't know about you, but there are a few things that I seem to do without complaining. It's very easy for me to give in to complaining. Okay? About anything, about everything. When life isn't fair, when I feel like life isn't fair, that's the natural place for me to go is complaining, right? And so here's what I did. You can get to the point where it's very easy to complain. Think about it. Everything that my spouse does just drives me crazy. My teenage kids just want to push me to the limit. I can't believe it. They're so horrible. Do you know what my boss gets away with that I never get away with? They take me for granted at my work. Do you see the illness that I have to deal with? Every day I feel this way. But we just read Paul right here, right? Talking about everything we should do in life without complaining. And yet we fall back into this trap of complaining all the time. We get this idea. Now, I thought life would be so different now. I thought I would be doing much better financially than I am. I thought my career would be in a different place right now. I thought I'd have a bigger house though, Mark. I thought I'd have a better car. I thought I'd have more money. I thought I had better opportunities. Mark, why can't I get ahead? I'm faithful to God. I work hard. I serve at the church. And it seems like God doesn't answer my prayers. You see, complaining just begins to feed this baggage of envy when you start looking at other people and you're like, well, why are they getting it all? How come I can't get any of that? And you start complaining about what's happening in your life. So you want to ask yourself this question. If you want to be honest, what do you most often complain about? What do you most often complain about? And here's the pushback already, right? Here's the pushback. I don't complain about much, Mark, really. I know I don't do, I probably do it sometimes, but I don't do it that much. But here's my challenge. Think back to your conversations this past week. Think back to all the conversations that you had this past week. You may find that you actually complain about a lot of stuff. This was my problem. I asked my family about what I complained about. When I was writing this message, this is weeks ago, I was writing this message and I went home one day and I said, I asked my wife, she's smiling because she remembers, I asked my son and I asked all of them, I said, hey, talk about some of the things. I was expecting them to say, I can't think of anything. They didn't do that. So they start listing the things that I complain about, right? They start listing the things out and I found like, okay, I got enough. All right, that's really, really, I'm not even going to go through the list with you today because it's too raw still. So I'm like, no, that's good. We're good. Stop. And then the next day, hey, I thought of something else. No, I'm good. No, I'm good. I'm good. It hurts. But my family didn't have a problem. So think back. What is it? Think back to your conversations. Maybe if you're brave enough, ask your family. What is it that we complain about the most? What is it that we're complaining about in life? What is it? Because it's really just feeding this baggage called envy. Many of us, we resent someone when they're blessed and when they get ahead. We ignore what God does in our own life because we're focused on them. You see, if we don't have a heart of peace that gets rid of this baggage, it's going to start rotting from the inside out. Remember that we talked about that in the beginning? The rotting will happen in our bones with envy. Envy's got two very good friends. It's comparing and complaining. They love envy. So then what's the answer today? What's the answer to this baggage known as envy? What do we do? What do we do? God's answer is very simple. It's this, that we have this simple prayer. God, fill my heart with contentment. Fill my heart with contentment. Contentment is God's answer to the baggage of envy. In fact, look at Paul writing again to his close friends in Philippians, the Philippians, right? The Philippi church. This is his favorite church, and he's writing to them while he's in prison. Look at chapter 4, verse 12. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being, there it is, content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So what's the secret, right? What's the secret to being content? Then Paul, what is it? Look at verse 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. When I realize that right there, at this moment in my life, that I have everything that I need to do the will of God and to glorify him through my life, I lack nothing to do the perfect will of God. That will remove the desire for anything else because I have everything I need through Christ. But the minute my mind starts going down the negative side, the negative track, I have decided I'm going to grab those thoughts. I'm going to take them captive. No more. No more. I'm going to replace them with the thoughts of God. I'm going to train my mind to think on the things that are pure, lovely, admirable, and excellent, right? If anything is praiseworthy, I will give my mind towards those things. I have to refuse to think on the negative things. The next time you get to the point where you want to say, my house is too small, you grab the thought, you take it captive, you say, no, That's a negative thinking. I don't want to do that. Thank you, God, that I have a house right now. Thank you for the blessings that you've brought into my life. The next time that you complain about your friend getting a new car while you drive the old car, you take that thought captive and say, no, thank you, God, for the transportation that I have. Because we've talked about it before. That puts you in the top 3% of the most wealthy people in the world if you have a car. That you thank God for that. You thank God for it. The next time you walk into your house and it's a chaotic, crazy mess, there's kids left stuff everywhere, it's going all over, there's junk everywhere, you stop and say, thank you, God, for the family you've given me. This is a hard one. Thank you, God, for the family you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me this way. I hate my job. They pass over me all the time. You take that thought captive. You stop. You say, no. Thank you for blessing me with the job to provide for my family that meets my needs every day. And I've learned this secret of being content. I've learned this secret of being content. And the secret is this, that I get to the point that at this moment, I have everything that I need to do the will of God. I lack nothing. It's contentment. It's contentment. And the reality is this, if you have Christ, you have everything you need for life to matter. You lack no good thing to do the will of God. You see, envy is dangerous. It's a dangerous bag that you can carry. It's dangerous and destructive. Resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in your own life is a dangerous place. You see, comparing and complaining is going to add to this baggage of envy. You need to come to this realization that if you know Jesus, you have everything you need. You can do everything God calls you to do. And you can give him glory in the end. We lack no good things. When God blesses me, because I know that, I let go of this baggage of envy. And I begin to praise God. I praise his name. I praise God. You see, I'm learning to fill my heart with contentment. That I want to let go of this, and I want to begin to praise the one who brings contentment to me. Yes, I may not have the Air Jordan 2 in 7th grade. But I begin to look past that and say, God, I want to look at the blessings that you've provided in my heart today, right now. What you've done for me. It's amazing. What you've called me to do, you provided everything I need to do your perfect will. Contentment. It's time to let go of this bag. It's so easy to pick this one up. A lot of us don't even realize we've been dragging it around. It's become normal almost. I want to be at a place where I don't resent the goodness and the blessings God places in other people's lives, but I want to rejoice with them. I want to rejoice with them with a sincere heart. And I don't want to forget the blessings that God's done in my life. They may not be the same, but I want to focus and be content on what he's done in my life.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more great teaching, check us out on the web at evangelwichita.org or connect with us at facebook.com/evangelwichita.